There is no new thing under the sun, writes the preacher in Ecclesiastes 1:9. Though things may take a different aspect, yet the basic forms and principles are the same now as before. Now this is seen in the realm of religion especially. Though there are various cults and sects popping up today, more prevalent and diverse than ever before, and especially in these closing days, they really are not new at all, dear friend. They're simply garbed in a new dress. It's quite striking that in the days of the apostles, every possible false system of religion lifted its head in one way or another. And this was allowed, no doubt, of God, in his wisdom, so that he could give, through the inspiration of the scriptures, the antidote to the poisonous doctrines, the remedy for the disease. This is clearly brought out for us in the epistle written to the Colossians. The saints there, the believers there, they were being invaded by at least four distinct systems of error. It was first the agnostic philosophies of men. Then there was the Jewish legality of religion. Then there was the Gnostic mysticism of the occult sciences. And fourth, there was the carnal asceticism that only catered to man's hypocritical pride. This again was just simply another form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, the theme of the Colossian epistle is Christ himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the antidote to all these forms of error, for any and every evil. The Apostle Paul presents Christ to the Colossians in the epistle written for their benefit, and the theme is Christ. And he gives them a warning. He says in verse 8 of chapter 2, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments or elements of the world, that is, worldly thoughts, and not after Christ. For in him, that is Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And hence, basing his thoughts upon the revelation of the Lord Jesus, as the one in whom all fullness was pleased to dwell, he proceeds to put before them this blessed person as the antidote for all the wiles of Satan. Now, perhaps I'm talking today to some who know the Lord Jesus as a Savior and yet are in danger of being ensnared by various evils. Christ, dear friend, is able to preserve you from this. Then perhaps I'm speaking today to those who do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. I trust that if this is the case, that you are listening. Perhaps you are engulfed in some form of error. Maybe you are ensnared by the philosophies of men, or mere legal religion, or carnal asceticism. Perhaps you've taken to the occult sciences. Dear friend, there's nothing in all that, nothing but what is ruinous to your soul. It is Christ alone who is the one can meet your every need. And the ministry of Christ in the gospel can deliver you from every error. Yea, in his word, there is power to save and power to keep. Now, who is this one? Who is the one that Paul presented to the Colossians? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Let scriptures speak. Notice verse 15 of chapter 1. We read, "He is the image of the invisible God, the brightness of the glory of God, the one who perfectly expressed God. In fact, he is God manifest in flesh. He is thus the firstborn of all creation. He is not a creature, because he is the Creator. But into his creation he came, and in his creation he has the position of the firstborn, the dignity of position. He is the first of all his creation. And we read that by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and before him." Think of that. Have you thought of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth as the Creator? Well, he is, because he is the eternal Son of God. He ever existed in the bosom of the Father. There, before the foundation of the world, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit ever was. And here now we have the Lord Jesus Christ come to represent God, that we might know God, that we might be brought to God. Then we read also, he is the head of the body, the church. Since the day of Pentecost, Christ has been forming his church out of Jew and Gentile who believes, baptizing them by the Spirit of God into one body, of which he is the head. And everyone who is born again is thus linked with him and with one another, forming the one body. And then he is also the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead. In new creation, he has taken his place as head. Adam, the head of the old creation, fell. And Christ as man, the second man, the Lord from heaven, now in resurrection as head of new creation, is the one who is to have all preeminence, first place in all things. This is the one, dear friend, that the apostle set before the Colossians. This is the one who is presented in the gospel. It's the same gospel that we desire today to preach to you, and from the same passage of Scripture. And here it is, the word of the truth of the gospel, which these people at Colossians heard and they believed. And when Paul heard of it, he thanked God for them. He thanked God when he heard of verse 4 of their faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in Christ Jesus is what gives us a link with God as Father. Faith in Christ Jesus is that which is the blessing God gives to those that see their need and then in that way brings them to himself. Faith is the connecting link between your soul and God. It's taking God at his word. It's believing him. The faith that they exercised was put in the person of Christ, the one who was presented to them in the word of the truth of the gospel. And this is what constituted them to be saints, for he writes to them as saints. Do you know that when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a saint immediately? That is, you become a holy one. Yes, you do. A holy one in Christ. In Christ gives you the position of holiness. This is the blessing that comes in the truth of the gospel, dear friend. This is what the Savior died to procure. In his death, he made provision for your need, that though you by nature are unrighteous and worthy of death and judgment, yet putting your faith in him, you are made the righteousness of God in him. You become a saint. You become one of the brethren. You have a relationship with God as Father, and with fellow believers as brethren. How wonderful. I wonder if you know anything about this. Well, the Colossians did. And Paul thanked God for them. And he thanked God, too, for the grace that brought this to them. And it is grace. Grace alone that brings this blessing to us. You and I do not deserve one bit of God's blessing. And it is not by works that we obtain it. This is a delusion. This is what creeps into all the fallacies of man and his religions, his philosophies. Man does not know grace. He does not wish grace. But you know, dear friends, it is by grace that we are saved through faith, not of ourselves, not of works of righteousness which we have done. So it is grace that brought this blessing to the Colossians. It's grace that unfolds Christ to you, that you might be blessed. And the result is peace. Peace that God wants you to have. Peace of conscience in knowing that your soul is saved. That you have eternal life. That you know the true hope before you in the glory. Is this your hope? Do you have peace with God? If you have trusted Christ, you do have peace with God, because the Scripture said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the result, then, of your putting faith in the wonderful gospel message that presents Christ to you as your own personal Savior. And then you notice it's faith in Christ Jesus. It's not just faith about a person, it's faith in Christ. This is important. You can believe all about Christ. It is a vast different thing to believe in Him. To believe in Him means a personal commitment to Him, a reliance upon Him, an adherence to Him, a trust in Him. Have you trusted Him? Ah, when you do, it is then that you are brought into relationship with Him. It is then, too, that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Spirit of God which is given unto you. And this love is manifested toward those who likewise know and love the Lord Jesus. And this is the family trait and character, love. Love for the people of God is an evidence of true love for God. And we love Him because He first loved us. And then we notice here He thanks God for the hope laid up for them in heaven. Can you be assured? Do you know that there is a true, certain hope for you in heaven? I'll tell you, dear friend, there is a heaven. The Lord Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you. And if you trust Him as your personal Savior, heaven is your sure hope. Be warned, there is a hell. If you will not have heaven, you must have hell. Hell has been prepared for the devil and his angels. You must be saved by the grace of God to escape hell. If you are ensnared in the philosophies of men and in the religions of men, dear friend, you're heading to a lost eternity in hell. But there's deliverance for you in the Christ of God, in the Creator of all things, in the Redeemer of mankind, in the head of the church, in the firstborn from among the dead, in the Son of God, the living, glorified Savior presented to you in the truth of the gospel, the word of the truth. The Spirit of God is pleased, dear friend, to use the word of God. Get your Bible and read it. Let the word of God sink into your soul. May the Spirit of God, who will, impress it upon your conscience and heart, and then you will know the blessing that the Colossians knew. Then, as it did in them, it will bring forth fruit. Fruit is the product of life. The life of Christ in the believer produces fruit. That's why when a person is truly saved, he shows, in some degree at least, the traits of Christ. It's like an apple tree will show it's an apple tree because it bears apples. And if you are a true Christian born of God, you have the life of Christ within you. God imparts to you eternal life the moment you are saved. And with the Colossians, Paul could say as to them, it brings forth fruit from the day that ye heard of it. Isn't that grand? The moment you trust Christ, you receive this everlasting life. The moment that you know the grace of God in truth, oh, God grant that today you will know this. You may. The Colossians learned it through the ministry of Epaphras, whom Paul calls a dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Paul was writing, you see, this epistle to them from prison. But he had heard of their conversion, and he was rejoicing in the fact that they heard the gospel through Epaphras, a faithful minister of Christ, and they were brought into this blessing of salvation by grace through faith, and had this love and hope, the common portion of every believer. And then he unfolds to them some of the other blessings that we receive, dear friend, when we trust Christ. It's my desire that you today might wish these blessings. And they are held out to you in the word of the truth of the gospel. He says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The saints in light, that's the hope in heaven. Oh, dear friend, are you going to be amongst those? You may. And you must be made fit, however. And the way you're made fit is by accepting Christ, the robe of righteousness. He himself is the one in whom God accepts you. When you trust Him as your Savior, God puts you in Christ and accepts you in Him, and in all the virtue of His person and work, God accepts you. Isn't that wonderful? Do you have this fitness? There's no place here for carnal religion. No place here for philosophies of men. Ah, dear friend, it is all for you, though, in the acceptance of Jesus Christ. Next, he says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Oh, the power of darkness. How many souls there are today that are enslaved to the errors, the fallacies of men, the satanic delusions of false cults and religions. Dear friend, if you reject the truth of God, you are subjecting yourself to these false cults. But there's deliverance from them. If you will only turn in simple faith to this Christ of God, the one who desires your blessing and died for it, and has raised himself from the dead, and raised by the glory of the Father, and raised by the Spirit. He's a living Savior, and the one who wants to translate you into his own kingdom. Yes, the Father wants to translate you into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's the realm that God wants to bring you into. He wants to bring you out of darkness into life, out of hatred into love. And this is where he brings you, the one in whom we have redemption. Redemption means deliverance by paying a price. Deliverance of our soul from the bondage of sin we have the moment we trust Christ. Deliverance for our bodies is assured to us at the coming of Christ, that wonderful event that we await and look for any moment. Then our body shall be redeemed. We shall be glorified with him in glorified bodies such as he has at his coming. This is our hope. This may be realized today. It can be your hope. God grant that it will be. And it will be if you will just simply accept him and the forgiveness of your sins. Forgiveness of sins has been procured for you on the basis of the finished work of Christ. He shed his blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. He has obtained forgiveness. You may have it as his gift. The greatest blessing that can come to man, Dwight Moody said, is to have the forgiveness of his sins. This is where you begin. When you trust Christ as your Savior, your sins are all forgiven. The blood of Christ washes them away. Is this blessing yours? It may be. All this is yours and more beside, dear friend. This deliverance from all the delusions of men. And this word is nothing new. It's the old, old story of Jesus and his love. But there's still power in it. And it is my prayer today that you will take this passage in 1 Colossians and read it. And if the Spirit of God is speaking to you now, don't turn a deaf ear to his pleading. But surrender yourself to him in repentance. And in faith, as the Colossians did, in Christ Jesus. Take him as your personal Savior. And know all these blessings that this word brings forth for you to receive. May God bless his word to everyone.